So the psalmist is looking back on his life, and he's seeing that God has been teaching and forming him or her since their youngest days. We too in the United Methodist Church believe that God speaks and teaches and forms our children from an early age. We know that the Lord can speak to and guide a person in every stage of life and at every time in life, wherever a person is. But we also know as the church that people grow when we provide intentional and regular times for growth. Events like vacation Bible school, Sunday school, youth retreats, mission projects, concerts, social activism, choirs, bands, acolytes, drama, Christmas pageants, and so much more are just some of the intentional and regular moments that we have and that the Lord uses to form us. Now, you might be thinking that retirement is an odd title for a message on a Sunday when we baptize an adult and have a couple unite in membership and celebrate our graduates. Retirement might seem like maybe not the right word, but I'm thinking of retirement in a different way. I want to let you know that I have preached this message before in other churches, so I'm not the first, and I know that I'm not the first to speak on this. Writers such as Rick Warren, Tony Campolo, Paula White, Greg Kilmovich, Micah Borns, Toby Mack, others have said essentially what I'm saying, and I have borrowed from their writings. It's a reminder to me this morning that Christ is always shaping us, always forming us, and always speaking to us in this process that we call discipleship. Okay? So this is the season for graduation ceremonies. Today is a retirement ceremony. A retirement ceremony for three cliches that we often use about children's ministry and youth ministry. I'm asking you to provide the fourth one to close the message. Here are the three. The first one is this, and if you're looking at your bulletin, there's a line in your bulletin. If you want to make a note, go ahead and make a note. Here's the first one. Youth are the future of the church. This is always a very well-intentioned remark, usually by our precious senior members. But it does not sit well with youth and young adults. The implication is that youth are the future. It assumes that their role in the present is not really what counts. That what counts is really yet to occur when they grow up. The implication is that when they grow up, that is when they can really contribute. But right now, the presumption is that youth be trained, tamed, taught to be quiet and nice and good, and don't rock the boat and don't take too many risks that would jeopardize the parents' hopes for what the church will be or what the congregation's hope of what the church will be. In other words, the silent message is, bide your time. I want to say this morning that youth are not the future. Youth are the present. Young adults are the present. Your ideas and your hopes are all valued. They are all needed. Your love and your passion is important to the body of Christ here. So you're hearing the preacher say it this morning, stir the pot. Rock the boat. What if the shoe were on the other foot? What if a teenager or young adult made the same kind of remark after a covered dish supper, after a worship service? What if a youth or a young adult said, well, the elderly sure are the past of the church? Well, that don't think that would be received too well, would it? So let's retire the cliche, youth are the future of the church. Next time you hear it, politely suggest an alternative. Maybe something like, I love youth and young people because they're here, because they are the present. I think the Lord is making a beautiful future beginning right now. Number two, calling youth students. It's time to retire that cliche too. Youth are not defined only by school, no more than you and I as adults are defined only by our occupation or our hobby. Jesus didn't say the kingdom of God belongs to students. He said the children of God, the kingdom of God belongs to children, to youth, to young adults. If you haven't read Andrew Root's piece entitled Stop Calling Them Students, find that. Read it. It's enlightening. What are the alternatives? As far as I know, what is good and appropriate and acceptable in today's culture, youth and young adults are just fine terms. They're fine. Better yet, call them by name. That's wonderful. Number three, youth volunteers. Time to retire that phrase too. Volunteers suggest donating time and energy to an organization that is somehow out there, somehow apart. And we sort of do our time with organizations. We give our heart, our energies, our care. That's true, we do. When we volunteer, we sort of come and go, don't we? We come and go. And I think that what we have here at Bethany, and we have a good heritage of it, and what we will always need here are people who view children and youth and young adults as their own. As their own, not as they or them, but as us. I saw many beautiful things last Sunday in worship at both the 8:30 and 11 o'clock service. One thing stuck out in my mind at the 11 o'clock service. I saw a couple who were going on our mission trip sitting with a person and worshiping with a person who was also one of our young adults who was also going on that same mission trip. And I love that. Another young person who was going on the trip was sitting alone at the 11 o'clock service. And my heart hurt for that person sitting alone. Now, in time, someone did come and came a little bit later and then sat nearby. But I love the way that our youth invite other youth to sit with them. I love the way that they just sort of go and sit where they are sitting. I think that's even better. To go and sit where others sit, to me, is a powerful picture of what it means to be a part of the church. To go and sit where someone else sits and to spend some time with them. It's what it means to be like Jesus, to be partners in ministry, isn't it? Rather than volunteers, let's consider words like partners or workers. There are three. I'd like to hear the fourth from you. The fourth cliche can come from you. Think about it now. And this is an opportunity for you to respond back audibly. I know sometimes we're uncomfortable doing that. Maybe we weren't raised that way. But think about it. Is there a cliche? Is there an assumption, a stereotype that you think needs to join this list of retirees? Say it again. New members. New members? Okay. Anyone else? Well, here's what the 8:30 service had to offer. In their responses, I thought you might be interested in what they say. They say it's time to retire these cliches. Children should be seen and not heard. Well, they don't have the experience. And the thought was that we may be making a wrong assumption on whether a young person has the experience and ability to do that, to do something. To which another person said, Let's give them the experience. Let's give them the experience. Here was another one, 8:30 said, "But we've always done it this way." Time to retire that cliche. Here's a last one. Just put the old people on the back burner. And that, unfortunately, connotes a stereotype and an assumption. And that stereotype needs to be retired. And to retire that line of thinking, because we want to be a church where each person can participate and where every person is loved and valued. Now, I said earlier that I preached this message before several times. Let me close with a few previous responses in other churches from youth and young adults and youth leaders and mentors. In other churches, I ask people to write it down and to give it to me, you know, at the end of the, service. So I save those cards. Here they are. One says, "Pastor Mike, let's please," that's how they wrote it, "let's please retire the thinking that all youth are the same. We're not all the same, so don't generalize us. Not all of us like singing in front of others. Not all of us like crafts, but we do like seeing our friends do something they enjoy doing." Here's another one. "Pastor Mike, my fourth one is, some of us like spiritual stuff. Others of us just don't like it so much. It's not just you, and it's not just the church. Some just like spiritual stuff and the Bible more than others." This person likes to use the word "just" a lot in their talking. "I like it okay, but some really aren't that interested." Here's another one. "Pastor Mike, youth group is not one of my favorite things because I don't want to be busy all the time. I'm not the only one. I hope you still like me." And I think what this person was saying was sort of countering that assumption and that stereotype that all youth are high energy and that all youth like something to do all the time and that all youth like talking in groups. And that's just not the case. Here's the last one. And this, I think, looking back on it, I think that we were doing something in our church. We were helping some neighbors in the area, and this was sort of written in response to this. I think this person was feeling either uncomfortable or guilty or sad, maybe a combination of all of that. And so the person wrote, "Pastor Mike, I didn't go because it makes me sad to see people live the way they live." So, you know, I'm, as a pastor, it's an occupational hazard to want to psychologize everything. And I'm trying hard not to do that. But I think what this person was trying to say to me was that I needed to know that some enjoy helping others, and others will do it because the group is doing it, and they want to be a part of the group. And then there are some who don't like to do it because it hurts their heart too much, and they feel overwhelmed when they see so much need. So when youth and young people go to clean up a yard, but they see a roof that needs repairing, or windows that need replacing, or a floor that needs replacing, they get a sense of the allness of it all, and it hurts their heart. And as parents here, you know, you have done a great job, and grandparents too, and we want our kids to learn to serve, and we see that as part of their spiritual training as well. But to be mindful also that not all youth rush to do that, that there's a lot of emotional things going on inside their hearts when they see people in need. So if you want to offer me any feedback on this message, please do. Please speak with me or email me, if you will. It helps me become a better pastor, and it helps me become a better preacher. Thank you.